in verse 6, it says, "And Stephen, being full of faith," verse 10 says, "and they were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which he spake." You know who he was, who was resisting him, didn't you? It was Saul of Tarsus. And, Saul, the one that was the chiefest of sinners, he later acknowledged himself as being, although at this time he thought he was doing God a favor by persecuting the church. And here he was, but Stephen, just being full of wisdom and spirit by which he spake, they were not able to resist him. Although Saul had all knowledge, and he was being a Pharisee of Pharisees, and on his way up to being a part of the Sanhedrin council, and all this and all the wisdom he had, yet he wasn't able to control one little deacon. But just one man full of the Spirit and everything. So then they bribed men and women and got him to lie against him and say that he blasphemed against Moses and against God and all this. And it was all looking bad towards Stephen. But as he sat there before him, it says, and they were looking steadfastly on, they saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. And I'd like to preach to you now on eyes that behold him. If our eyes get on Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. If our eyes get on him and get off the world and get off the resistance and get off of the devil and get off of everything else that's going on in the world, we can have eyes that behold him in 1995, just as Stephen had back here shortly after Christ was crucified. We can have eyes that behold him. Did you say amen? Eyes that behold him. In verse 7, it says, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up." The reason he looked eyes up is because he had eyes that beheld the Lord. He'd seen him on the right hand of God. He'd seen the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Jesus standing up and looking down and giving him a standing ovation as he was being stoned and murdered for the gospel's sake, and being the first martyr for Jesus Christ and his glorious gospel. And all because his eyes beheld him. All because he looked to the Lord. All because he was sold out to God. All because Stephen was full of wisdom and power. Acts 1 and verse 8 says, "After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power." I believe Stephen had that power, don't you? I believe we need that power, don't you? I believe if we had the power of God, we would have eyes that really beheld him. We'd have eyes that would see Jesus. We'd have eyes that could look through this darkness of this whole world and see the light of God. We'd have eyes. Yes, we would. No matter how dark it gets down here, how cloudy a storm, no matter a hurricane, no matter a thunderstorm, and it may be at noon, and the earth may be blackened, and then the streetlights come on, and everything. But Jesus' eyes still beholds us. The darkness doesn't matter. His eye pierced through the darkness. He reaches down and says, "Sinners, in the pit below." Oh, my God, if we could only have eyes like him, then we'll look to him the same way. Amen. Pray for me now. Eyes that behold him. Brother Philip Small was preaching my first revival last week, and I'm an utter failure. You're probably finding that out. But, I've never done that before, and I was nervous, I lost some weight, Brother Con, just preaching revival. I think I was nervous. I read Job where it says his bowels boil. Mine's been boiling. They're boiling right now. But, I want to have eyes that behold him. I want to have eyes that can receive the anointing of God. When Peter and John walked up to the temple that day in Acts 3 and 6. It said, in 6 and 3, they said, "Look upon us." And I believe what they wanted was to look at his eyes. So the lame man to look into their eyes and their eyes into him. And when he seen the Spirit of God that was upon them, and then their eyes, because their eyes had beheld him on the day of Pentecost. Could you say amen? I believe that the power transformed from their eyes into his eyes. And he prayed to his feet. They said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto thee." And their eyes was upon him. Amen. Eyes to behold him. Jesus. Our eyes better behold him. We're living right in that midnight hour, I believe. I don't know how you believe for sure, but I believe that we're, and we all have to admit that we live at the very soon coming of Jesus Christ. Seemed like that's all that I preached down there was that no matter what I preached, it ended up being about the end time, about the soon coming of the Lord, about Israel in 1948, and all the signs that point to his soon coming. We better have eyes to behold him. We better get our eyes upon him. Nothing else is going to matter in this last day except our eyes upon him. Amen. My father had a friend one time. He told me, as a little boy, he says, "If that man comes around here, you make sure he don't get in the house." And West boys would have too. Been a couple times me and my brother Keith that I was in business with, we tackled the dogs, brought them down to the floor for our mother's sake. One time I had a nephew or a cousin home from the Marines, and everybody, kids, when you're kids, you think Marines are tough, and some of them are. But he got to flirt with my mother, touching her when he shouldn't have touched her. And my dad just gave us a wink, and wham, we had that Marine fresh out of the service. Military clothes and all, we had him, I was about 10, my brother 11 or 12. We had him down, had him nailed on the floor in the dirty floor, and it was over for him. But he cast his eyes upon women too much and upon my mother, and I defended her, and I was right in doing so. Could you say amen? And I'll defend my wife the same way if that's what it takes. But this man that was a friend of my father's, a so-called friend, he really wasn't a friend, just acquaintance. My dad had seen him with his so-called best friend go to their house and, a visit. He was single, never got married for years and years. And then they'd be off to work, and he'd still come around. First thing, he'd be out on the porch talking to him, and he'd leave. And then next thing you know, he'd be going and visiting in the house when they were gone. And what he was doing was he was getting that eye-to-eye contact. And over here, Central Vina for our church said that your eyes, she was teaching women one time, said, your eyes are the windows to your heart. And that's what he was doing. He had his eyes set on their heart. And when he cast his eyes upon them, he was like this subtle serpent that beguiled Eve. And his eyes would get upon them, and pretty soon he would have them, and he'd be off with them. Another home split. Done it to three or four, maybe more, I don't know. But my father said, when he comes around, if I'm gone, you don't let him in the house. And we wouldn't let him in. And I beheld my father's eyes, and I obeyed him. And that's who we need to obey tonight. We need to have eyes to behold him. Could you say amen? Praise God. I felt him here tonight as they were singing that song. My hair was standing straight up on my head, so I felt like. And the Lord is here. The Lord is here. His eyes are upon us. In Psalms 35 and 14, I believe it is, or 34 and 15 says, his eyes are on the righteous. His ears hear their cries. 1 Peter, I believe, 3 and 12 says, his eyes are upon the righteous, and his ears are up, open to their prayers. And he hears our prayers tonight. If you're sick and afflicted, he hears your prayers. And the psalmist is saying he heard their cries. They were crying out to God then. And in the 1 Peter, they were praying then. We better be crying again. We better be praying again. We better get a hold of the eyes to behold us. Amen. Eyes to behold him. Eyes. I want his eyes upon me. He sees me when I falter. He sees me when I'm in the valley. He sees me when I'm on the mountaintop. He sees me in the workplace. He sees me. He knows me. He knows my thoughts are far off. Because his eyes are upon me. I wish I could fix my eyes to him a little better. Don't you? I was just thinking Brother Collins was saying about where he lived, the address, when he got the letters. And I live on Farmington Road, south of Minersburg. You come to Farmington Road, only a couple miles long, and it ends. And I just tell you, I live on Farmington Road, and you pass by there, sometimes you're going to wonder, where's he live? You're going to be looking at the numbers. And I'll just give you a general location where I live. And you're going to be looking and searching. You know, you may pass right by my house and lose sight of my house because of houses on each side and houses across the street and beautiful yards and places and other things. And you may lose sight of it. But if I tell you I live at 7100 Farmington Road, your eyes can affix on that number. Your eyes can distinguish. It's not just a general location, but that's where I live. That's where I reside. And if we got our eyes upon Christ, and his eyes are upon us, he'll reside in us. We'll know where he lives. He'll live in us. Can you say amen? Said, brother, how do you know his eyes are upon you? Well, you know, sometimes I don't know which way to go. I kind of sort of run to and fro sometimes. Seem like I'm searching for the will of God. But God's way up yonder in heaven looking down. And I could travel clear across this United States. And his eyes just have to move real slow because he is higher than I. He is sitting on the throne tonight. Amen. And no matter how fast I go, if I'm in a jet plane, Brother Collins, his eyes are still up on me. He still knows where I'm at. He don't have to get in a hurry. He knows right where I'm at. He knows when to pat me on the shoulder. He knows when to tell me to move, when to stay, when to wait, whatever it is. He knows me. Amen. We were down in Kentucky. We seemed like we had a good meeting. Got dry a few nights. But sometimes when you preach in holiness, that's the way it gets. And a little quiet in here tonight. And I ain't preaching no holiness. And I'm preaching on the eyes that behold him. And Jenny, you've been having some problems about the past year, 8 months to a year. Her stomach will swell up and she'll bend over in great pain. And we don't know what it is. Down at went to the Allentown meeting and come up to Brother Gentry's church. Just before he passed away, we were there one night, and Brother Bill Houston and Sister Darren Houston was there. We were just visiting, just stopping off a place to rest. She got sick in the middle of the night. Woke up crying in pain. My wife's not a crybaby. She takes pain real well. But you know, I can take pain. I've been hurt a lot working on cars. And I'll just tape up a wound with a masking tape and go on work. And pour a little alcohol on it maybe, or wash it clean. And you know, put a bandage on it, go on, stop the bleeding. And I've hurt myself a lot of times. But I can take pain. Maybe my resistance against pain is maybe a little higher since I'm more adjusted to it than others would be. But my wife, I don't know how much pain she can take. So I asked her, I said, you want me to call 911? I'll go get Brother Bill and Sister Darren up to pray. She didn't want to bother nobody. And we didn't call 911. And we've been trying to trust God. We don't have no health insurance. So we didn't have no oil that I got an order with. So I went out and had some transmission fluid in the compartment of the motorhome. So I got that out, Brother Colin. And anointed her with that and prayed. After a while, she went to sleep and it seemed like it eased off and went away. Well, we were down here and she had a spell at home just a few weeks ago that was one of her worst. And as we were down there, during the day I come back from town and I didn't know she was in there laying down and sick. And I went to the house, asked Sister Small what I said, my wife in here? She said, no, she went out to the motorhome. She don't feel very well. And I knew what it was. So I thought, Lord, here I am in revival. Thinking I'm in the will of God. The devil saying, you shouldn't be down here. You're out of the will of God. And on my back. And meat and going dry anyway, seemed like. But anyway, I went in there and I climbed up on the bed where she's at. She's kind of laying, kind of rolled over, hugging a pillow. I said, you feel bad? And I knew she was. A dumb question. You look at her face and tell she wasn't feeling good. She just kind of nodded her head. And it worried me. It troubled me. It burdened me. I just, you know, didn't know what to do. I mean, I knew I needed to pray about it, but I just, you know, remembered Allentown. She wasn't healed. And she'd had a problem at the house, and she'd had it different times. And I guess my faith had kind of grown a little weak, Brother Colin. And you know, sometimes we get weary about even praying. But I knew God's the only answer. So I went back to, I was reading a little bit there, and I was just thinking about it. And then I went back to the bathroom, and there was a door there. I looked in there, and I could tell the pain on her face. She looked at me like she was dying, and it scared me. And tears streaming out of her eyes. She wasn't whimpering or nothing, but it just she was in great pain. And pale. And so I went in there, and I got down off the couch, and I just prayed. I said, Lord, that's my wife in there. She's sick. I was just sincere. I said, we were united in holy matrimony. And you made us as one. If she's sick, I'm sick. If she feels pain, I feel pain. And Lord, we're not even thinking about going to the hospital. That's out of the question. We've made our minds up. We're not going to the hospital. And I'm not saying it's a sin to go. Don't get me wrong. But it's just for us. And I'm just telling you, his eyes are upon us. His eyes hear our cries. His ears hear our cries. His eyes are upon the righteous. Could you say amen? I feel the Holy Ghost here. Anyway, I prayed that simple prayer. And I was, while I was down praying, my wife thought I'd got back on the bed, Brother Collins. But I wasn't in there. I was about 25 feet away. Bowed down on the couch. Just saying a simple dry prayer. Tell Father my petition and my complaint before the Lord. Like David did. And the Lord come by. And the Lord touched her. And the scripture come to mind. About turning your face to the wall. And I went ahead and got up and was sitting there reading my Bible and studying for the message that night. And she come in there, she looked different. And I thought, well, it's eased off. And then she asked me about where the scripture was. So we looked it up in 2 Kings. I'll read it to you. Luke chapter 20. Anyway, she come in, I could tell she was acting different. It wasn't the pain that she was suffering on the bed. But in chapter 20, it says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos. I'm talking about his eyes are upon us. Eyes that behold us. Eyes that behold him. And we get eye to eye contact. We'll have each other's heart. Amen.
We need the Lord to have his eyes upon us tonight. And then the son of Amos came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall, as when my Lord told my wife, and saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember thou, have I walked before thee in truth, with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. I've not walked before the Lord with a perfect heart. I wish I could say I had, but I've had sin in my life. Although I was 22, I was a vile sinner. I felt like Apostle Paul. I felt like I was the chiefest of sinners. Amen. But the Lord, I felt like, was telling me that I'd done that which is good in his sight. I've tried to serve him. I'm trying to walk before him, because I know his eyes are upon me. I want my eyes upon him. And when I felt the Holy Ghost come down in that motorhome, no, nobody else knew. We hadn't made no phone calls, but we had got our eyes on Jesus Christ. And his eyes came down, and he blessed us with the Holy Ghost. And there was a presence coming in that room, and I cried, and she cried. But we had just a good few minutes there that we knew the Lord was for us. He was not against us. For see, his eyes are against the wicked, but they're for the righteous. His eyes are upon us. My eyes are upon him. Amen. I hope I'm helping you. So then it came to pass before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. He had his eyes upon his tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And my wife got it better. She's had a little confrontation since. But I believe it's just old Slewfoot buffeted her, trying to get her faith to wane a little bit. But I believe she's healed in my heart, because the eyes of the Lord are upon us. I believe he heard my prayer. I believe he heard our prayer. I believe he speaks to his people, don't you? Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Eyes that behold him. I don't want to take up too much time. Praise God. You know, Luke chapter 21 says, And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your hands, for your redemption draw nigh. Why do you want us to lift up our hands? So our eyes can behold him, so he can behold us. Amen. Eye to eye. And I believe that even blind men can behold the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I do. In spirit, the blind man along the roadway said, Son of David, Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me. I believe his eyes was upon the Lord. And I believe the Lord seen his eyes and healed him that day. Amen. You read Matthew 24 about all the signs of the times. We're living in that hour. Amen. You turn to the book of Revelation. I'm trying to hurry. It says, And I beheld, verse 6, chapter 5, says, And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth the earth. And verse 9 says, And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book. And I believe we will sing a new song here after a while. You know, it don't have to be dry in the house of God. God is wanting rain on us in 1995. He wants us to have revival. If we get our eyes upon him, we will have revival. Amen. Second Peter says, chapter 3. Verse 3 says, Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust. So we're going to have scoffers and false teachers. But then Matthew 24 tells all about that. People having itching ears, believing a lie and being damned. But you know, no matter how dark it gets, God's light still piercing through his eyes still see us. And verse 4 says, And saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, I bring my eyes to behold him. All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Verse 7 says, But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance, come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We better have our eyes upon him. Amen. I believe we'll know when he's coming. Oh, we'll feel the Spirit of God. We'll know when he hovers close. Amen. That in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, the works that are therein shall be burned up. Sing them, and all these things shall be dissolved. What men are approaches ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the day, coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heaven. We look and we look, and we're waiting, Lord, and we're waiting. Eyes to behold it. Get your eyes on it tonight, amen. It says that in new heaven and new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in peace, without spot and blameless. Are you looking for it tonight? Amen. I hope to get my eyes, not only my eyes, Lord, but my heart also. Not only my heart and my eyes, Lord, but my mind also. Not only my mind and my heart, Lord, and my eyes, but my ears also. I want to be tuned to his voice. Amen. Eyes to behold him. Amen. Praise God. Hebrews, in closing, says, chapter 12 says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is Stephen sitting there. I believe he's there, but I believe tonight his eyes are looking to the Father, and he's wondering, when, Father, can I go back? Yeah, I think I can preach better now. I got those eyeglasses on. I can't see very well. You know, when I'm preaching in a bigger church like this, it makes me nervous. But if I can pick out a spot on the wall and preach over people's heads and don't have to worry about looking at them, and I can pretend that Jesus is back there and I'm preaching to him, when my eyes behold him and his eyes behold me, the anointing comes, the Spirit of God jumps down and he helps us. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the Alpha and Omega. Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet. John, tell you, I knew you got some intelligent men here, good brothers. But it's also Omega, for the Alpha. And he said, is the brightest star. That's my Christ. That's my Lord. He is the bright one. That's why he could pierce the darkness. The morning star, the day star. Oh, to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Verse 12, 12 and 12 says, wherefore lift up hands which hang down. Are your hands been hanging down tonight? Are you been discouraged? Get your eyes cast upon him. Your hands will go up. That's why our hands don't go up when the Lord comes by. That's why we don't praise him, because our eyes are not upon him. If our eyes are upon him, we'll praise him. We'll shout the victory. Amen. And it says, in the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. You know why the holiness people feel the presence of God? I know there's a lot of other ones say that they feel him, but I just don't believe they feel him just quite like we do. He may differ with me, but I beg your pardon. See, I had a holiness grandma, and I heard her pray, and I didn't know what it was then, but now I know what it was. She had her eyes on Jesus Christ. His eyes were upon her. The reason that my hair, and I was just a boy, about 9, 10, 11 years old, maybe at the time. But when she prayed, hair stood on my back. And there's no hair there even today, mind you. But hair stood up on my back. Hair stood up on my head. And I reverenced God when she'd get out to pray. I never prayed myself, but I knew that there was something in that room. And what it wasn't, it was God Almighty coming down, casting his eyes upon my grandma. Amen. You wonder? I believe the eyes are upon the holiest people. We'll have holiness unto the Lord. God's going to do exploits for us, I believe, in this last day. I believe God's going to help his people. If we walk right, we talk right, and we walk righteously before him in this wicked generation, I believe his eyes is upon us. Don't you? I believe his eyes are upon us. I preach to you about eyes to behold him. You know, they got satellites now. Somebody come and get us a song.
My wife adopted us a grandbaby, so she's kind of busy. But she loves children. But you know they got satellites now. A few years ago, maybe 5, 10 years ago, they had them where they count your shingles on your roof. They knew where you live. Now they got them and they come down. You driving down a highway and along a desert in busy city traffic. They can zoom in on your automobile and read your license plate number. You know, your license plate number is tied up with your social security number. They got your signature. They got your address. They know where you're at. This world's eyes is upon us also. We live in the end time. We live when, in that time when knowledge has been increased. But God's eyes is still more powerful. You say amen. His eyes are upon us tonight. I don't care what man's inventions may be. Most of them are evil anyway. I'm not trusting in those things, in war or anything else. I'm trusting in God because His eyes are upon us. I preach to you now that eyes to behold Him. And I'm done. You can all stand. Come prayer. Brother Collins, come back. I've done my best. Eyes to behold Him. Are your eyes beholding Him tonight? Do you behold Him? John the Baptist, when he come down along Jordan there to be baptized, John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Why did he say behold? Because his eyes were upon Him. He didn't say, "Look, a man of God," because there were many men of God along that shore that day. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." I believe John's eyes were upon Him, and his eyes were upon John. That's why he knew Him. We can know Him if our eyes behold Him. Amen.